Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us. Coming up at 18 minutes from now, I'll give you my tasty top five college football games of the weekend. Also next hour, Bucky Brooks, NFL Network. We'll talk about last night's Steelers demolition of the Tennessee Titans. Boy, when Pittsburgh plays like that, they are not only dangerous, when they play like that, they're the best team in the NFL. They are. They are the best team in the NFL, and I'll tell you why. Because they have a more explosive offense with more deep threat, vertical, and underneath, and a running back than anybody else in the NFL. That includes the Chiefs and the Patriots. That includes the Rams as well. That's the best offense in football when they click like that. They've got a quarterback who's a future Hall of Famer, has won Super Bowls. They've got a running back that can kill you both on the ground and through the air. They have a deep threat in Antonio Brown that's one of the best in football. They have a chemistry, having played together. It's not overly reliant on one side or the other of the offense. And Juju has also become the perfect complement to Brown in the pass game. We don't know if Alex Smith can go on the road and win an AFC championship game or win a Super Bowl. We haven't seen Andy Reid's offense work in a Super Bowl, but we know Pittsburgh's can. We know those players can. We've seen the Patriots do it. We know their offense is good enough with Brady, but they don't have a Le'Veon Bell. Brandon Cooks is really good, but he's not Antonio Brown. Gronk does help a lot in the intermediary, but again, they don't have the ground game that the Steelers can also bring to the table with Le'Veon Bell. They don't have a stud star like Bell. But even if it's a wash between the Steelers' offense and the Patriots' offense, and maybe even the Rams' offense right now as well, but let's face it, you would trust Roethlisberger, Brown, and Bell in a Super Bowl or a championship game instead of Jared Goff right now. No offense to Goff. He's played remarkably well. What a tremendous season for the Rams. That's probably the best offense in the NFC. But we know where we would trust the chips being down. Those guys who have done it or guys that haven't done it yet. But defensively, the Steelers might not be the steel curtain, but the Steelers defensively were able to shut down the Chiefs in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. And the Steelers defensively have really carried the water for Pittsburgh this season. That was the first time the Steelers scored 30. When the Steelers play like that, they're the best football team in the NFL. Their problem is finding that switch every Sunday. They just can't do it. But there's really no excuse for the Steelers not to win five of their final six games and go at least 13-3. Because everybody else they'll play is sub-500 except for the Patriots. They should not lose another game except for New England. And if they win that New England game, they're going to be the one seed. Now, one of the best teams in football, clearly the Minnesota Vikings as well. And the Rams have sold me. I think the Rams are real. I think the Rams are fantastic. And I could see the Rams playing in the NFC Championship game, which is just shocking to say. But if you could throw out what you remember about Jared Goff last year, Goff is phenomenal. He is so poised. He's so comfortable. He doesn't mind taking shots downfield. He's accurate. He's tough. Goff has been great. He really has been great. Not good, great. And he pushed Case Keenum out of that job because they drafted Goff one overall. Case Keenum bounces over to Minnesota, and the Vikings have Sam Bradford. But basically, Bradford's knees are disintegrating like a mummy. It's just sand in there. It's like one of those sand balls that you need for stress. That's Bradford's knee. Can't play no more. They got to bring Keenum in, and he's just there to hold the spot, the place, until Teddy Bridgewater is healthy. And now Bridgewater is healthy, and Bridgewater is ready. And Case Keenum's like, oh, no, you didn't, and played the game of his life last week. Sunday, maybe the best game of the day, is Rams-Vikings, and it's the Case Keenum Revenge Tour! Bum, bum, bum! I am very, very hesitant on crowning Case Keenum good enough for the Vikings to win a Super Bowl, good enough for the Vikings to get to a Super Bowl, good enough for the Vikings to win multiple playoff games. I just don't see it with Case. I don't see it. I think I could buy on Goff easier than I can buy on Case. But Case Keenum can keep making schmucks out of all of us, including yours truly, with a win this weekend over the Rams. It's in Minnesota. Vikings have the home field advantage. And you know it's a weird NFL season when a Case Keenum revenge game ends up being one of the most significant of the football weekend. I can't buy on Case yet, even though I like the Vikings defense a lot. I really do. I can't buy on Case yet. And he's in a really weird spot because the moment that he falters a little bit, they're going to go to Teddy Bridgewater. But if he beats the Rams at home and they move to 8-2, going to be real hard to take Mr. Case Keenum out of that starter's job with Mike Zimmer. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Rob is in Boise, listening on 93.1 CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. And by the way, on Monday, thank you very much for allowing me to do that Donald Trump impression for you. I appreciate that.
I like it. It made me chuckle. That was good.
I heard that. And, of course, I was like, okay, great. Mraz isn't cutting me off yet.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's great to hear you come around with the Rams. there's still some naysayers and doubters out there that I see on Facebook. But here's the thing. The Rams now, and I'll tell you what their upcoming games are. So the Rams have a chance now to really put all those naysayers to rest. They have the Vikings, and they're home to the Saints. They do go to Arizona, and that's, you know, they should win that one. But then they play at home to Philly and then to Seattle. So the Rams really have it. I fully believe in them. I think they're a fantastic team. I think McVay has done a wonderful job in turning this program around and really getting the players to buy into his system. And you're right, Goff. I can't even believe this is the same guy. So the Rams have a chance to put all that to bed, and we'll see what they're made of. DA, I want to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to my fair city here of Boise?
I have not been to Boise.
Listen, I'm originally from L.A., and I have to tell you, everybody that comes here, first-timers, they are just, they can't believe, I've heard it, I can't believe how wonderful
I have
Boise
heard,
is.
Yeah, I have heard the same exact thing, and it's why I really want to go there. I'd love to go to a Boise State football game, and I'll tell you why. I've had friends also that cover college football, gone through Boise and said it's unbelievable. I actually did a road trip a couple of years ago when I was going through the Grand Canyon and then southern Utah, and my plan was to drive up through Idaho to Boise, and I was going to cut over to Denver and fly back out from Denver here to New York. And so I flew into Santa Fe, I drove across the Grand Canyon, and then I drove up to southern Utah. And I started realizing, you know, I'm from the Northeast, and all these states are really close to one another. You can bounce between D.C. and Philly in 2 hours, and Philly to New York in 2 hours, and New York to Boston in 4 hours. And I started realizing, yeah, I can't just bounce up to Boise and then over to Denver. Those are like giant drives, huge chunks of time, monster states. And I said, I bit off more than I can chew, because then I'd be driving for like 12 straight hours. So next time I come out there, I'm doing it because I love the landscape of the mountains and everything in Idaho and Boise. I've heard it's an amazingly fun time. I got to see the Smurf Turf. So I'm with you. I'm on board. I am coming. I just don't know when yet. David's in Toledo listening on 106.5 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dave?
DA, permission to board.
Brandon!
Hey, DA, how you been, man?
I'm good. Good to hear from you, Dave.
Hey, it's been a while, a long time. I was just telling Morass, I'm surprised that the Giants didn't fire McAdoo after they lost that game Sunday. I figured they'd tell him, here, grab your shit and get the hell out, you know?
Yeah, there's been like 3 or 4 straight weeks where they could have said McAdoo hit the road.
It's just been a bad football season just all for a Giants fan, and it's in the whole season in general, you know, a lot of teams got bad offensive lines. It's just been really weird watching it, you know?
Yeah, a lot of sloppy football.
I remember growing up as a kid watching football and being so hyped to see it. Now anymore, you're just like, meh, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of sloppy football, Dave, and I've gone over why for a couple of weeks now. I think it's a lot of reasons. To me, the biggest one is that the NFL's lack of practice time of the offseason means the first month of the season is really sloppy. They've cut down practice time, they've done away with two-a-days, and they don't let players play in the preseason for fear of injury. So really, the first 4 games of the regular season is like the preseason. It's sloppy. On top of it, you have no depth in any of these teams. So if you have one injury, you've got nobody to plug in there. And I think a lot of that has to do with all the money that is soaked into quarterbacks. It means you don't have the money to spend on depth. I also think coaches are more desperate than ever before because they've got a shorter leash than ever before. So you've got weird coaching decisions and coaches that just turn over. I mean, the Browns have a new coach every 2 years. The Giants, the Buccaneers, the Dolphins all have a second-year coach that have done questionable jobs this season and could be fired after the year. So there's a lot of reasons for it, and I completely wholeheartedly agree. I think this year's NFL has been pretty bad, pretty lackluster. But I also wonder if this is not just the new normal, where you just have to grin and bear that the first month stinks, the second month is a little bit better, and then hopefully by the third month, November into December, good teams rise, and then at least we're watching good teams play good football, even if it's against bad teams playing bad football. But that's better than bad teams playing bad football all across the league against one another every single Sunday. When we return, my tasty top 5 college football games of the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You're listening to the DA Show. Boom shakalaka.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. If your weekends are reserved for football, then you should be watching the games at B-Dubs, where all the fans are there for the same reason, to watch sports. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Rams and Vikings, we were just talking about this. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 7-2 against 7-2. Big NFL game. Case Keenum, probably the biggest game of the weekend, or at least one of them. Case Keenum's going to get his chance against his old club. It's the Case Keenum Revenge Tour. Jared Goff, he was originally the Rams starter before Goff was pushed in there last year. Goff has been phenomenal this season. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He leads the NFL in yards per pass attempt and has a 101.5 quarterback rating. Plus, the Rams are taking the football away, 19 takeaways on defense. And that's always a recipe for success in the NFL. A lot of teams can't play just stand-up, lockdown defense anymore. And so it comes down to, can you take the football away and give your offense the ball back with favorable field position or maybe score points on your own? And both the Saints and Rams have turned around their fortunes by being that type of defense. Today is a Target Demo Friday, and so Facebook is a hub for us. On a day like today, you'll want to go to our Facebook page and let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show. We'd love to know what you're up to, what your plans are for the weekend, and we'll read through them as part of Target Demo Friday coming up here next hour. But also, as a New York Mets fan, I follow the Mets on Instagram, and the Mets posted a picture that shouldn't be alarming at all. The Arizona Fall League gave David Wright, longtime Mets captain, a plaque and honor. He's now in the Arizona Fall League Hall of Fame, which is pretty ironic because it feels like he's been playing in the Arizona Fall League for 3 years now in his rehab. But okay, so he's got the plaque, put his name on the wall. Nice, nice honor. So they have a picture of him holding this plaque. This is Benjamin Button stuff. Somehow David Wright looks 13 years old. And this is not a good thing because David Wright is 34, 35 is my guess now. 33, 34, 35. He looks like a bag of bones. He looks thin. He looks like me before puberty. So he's going to be 35. He is aging backward, and normally that'd be cool because you'd be like, oh, nice, he's staying youthful. This isn't youthful. This looks like he should be in the cartoon Doug. Mraz, what are you seeing from David Wright there? Should I be concerned about this?
It's not right. You know what he's doing? He's taking the form of like these offensive linemen in the NFL that retire and all of a sudden become like shrunken down to nothing. But this is to another extreme. He literally looks like my little cousin Ryan does on a little league field.
And how old is Ryan?
11.
David Wright looks 11.
He does.
This is not good.
He's gained hair. His skin's gotten better.
Which is all great.
All great, except for the fact that you can't all of a sudden get 6 inches shorter and have no arm substance to you at all.
No definition.
No definition. Very handsome.
Good looking man, but...
But you, if he would get ID'd, like if he walked into a 7-Eleven to buy beer tonight,
yes,
you are IDing David Wright and doing a double check and wondering if he's McLovin.
Yeah. And you need body mass, you need strength to be an everyday baseball player, and this makes it seem like he is back to being a civilian and will never play baseball again.
Which I think most of us assume, but he hasn't announced that.
But I mean, he's trying to come back. Bilotti, you're a Mets fan as well. What are you seeing from David Wright there?
It looks like all his body mass, his muscle mass is gone.
Everything's
like
gone.
He hasn't been in the gym. He hasn't been able to be in the gym. And if you look at how he's holding that plaque, it's like an 11-year-old. It's like he's holding an anvil. I feel like it's weighing him down.
Yeah, it's a great
observation.
When you look at that, it kind of suggests David Wright will never play baseball again, right? You can't play in that shape. He looks like he's 11 years old.
He does not look like an athlete.
He doesn't look like an athlete. I mean, I hate to say this because he does have spinal stenosis, and so that's forced him to kind of miss time. But this also looks like he's sick. Now not like gaunt sick, but like the type of sick that you just can't put on weight.
Yeah, and you remember the end of Barry Bonds' steroid-ridden career where he had basically no neck and it was so thick like that, or he had too much of a neck? You could fit in this picture about 30 of David Wright's necks into what Barry Bonds' neck used to look like.
Pretty much, yes. It's
really amazing.
Pretty much. I mean, Bilotti, I love David Wright. I don't think we're ever seeing him play. But now I'm convinced after seeing this picture.
That's the photo evidence that we'll never see him play again.
The photographic evidence.
Oh.
Bad.
Hard to see.
It's
tough.
It is. And it should be a fun day where he's holding an Arizona Fall League Hall of Fame plaque. And instead you're like, why does David Wright look like he's 13 years old? Benjamin freaking Button here. So you can check that out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show. It is time for your tasty top five.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top five.
Well, this is not exactly the most thrilling weekend for college football. There's a lot of bad matchups out there. And in terms of the top 25, no matchups outside of one that have two ranked teams in there. So this is not exactly a thrilling week. Last week was amazing for college football. This is kind of the opposite. So we'll begin at number five. And usually my picks are the teams, are the matchups that have to do with the college football playoff race. But because there's so few of those this week of any interest, we'll actually start with one that has no bottom line when it comes to the college football playoff. That is LSU and Tennessee. This one is being played in Neyland Stadium. And now that Tennessee has made a change away from Butch Jones, I really want to see exactly how badly or well they end up finishing the season. Tennessee is now in coaching search. They are in coaching search mode. And LSU was in coaching search mode last year. These are two once proud programs that are not factoring in to the college football playoff race or even the SEC championship race. And that said, this is a reminder of how good it used to be for LSU and Tennessee. And for the Vols, dead team walking, at least finish off the season with a little bit of fight, because you're 4-6 and Tennessee is on the verge of missing a bowl game, which would be totally humiliating. They need the win to keep that dream alive. Your number four matchup, tastiest matchup of the weekend, is number four Oklahoma at Kansas. Now, there is absolutely no way Oklahoma loses this football game. Kansas will never beat you. They'll never beat a good team. And that is arguably the worst football program in America. Kansas is 0-7 of the Big 12, 1-9 overall, and they are 37-point underdogs. So Oklahoma will win. But remember, now with Oklahoma needing style points to vault themselves into that top four of the playoffs, they can't slip by Kansas. They've got to hammer Kansas, and they know they do, because if it starts getting into the one-loss teams, Oklahoma's going to need some things to break their way and the committee to say, okay, we like them because of this, because Oklahoma has been graded down by the committee for playing in a weak Big 12. So look for OU to put up 50 or 60 in this game. Baker Mayfield against Kansas has the potential to have a 70-burger thrown up there. Number three, Kentucky at number seven, Georgia. How do the Bulldogs respond after losing and getting pounded last week by Auburn? Georgia falls to number seven, but they still have a path to the college football playoff. They've got to win out, and then they've got to beat Auburn or Alabama in the SEC championship game. They cannot lose again. They certainly can't lose to Kentucky. They're three touchdown favorites at home in Athens. They've got to win this game and win it convincingly. Number two, how does Miami handle success after the way they thumped Notre Dame last weekend? Kentucky at Georgia. The flip side is Virginia at Miami. The Miami Hurricanes dealing with success, whereas Georgia dealing with the blowout loss. Miami is a big favorite of this game. Virginia comes into Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Hurricanes can't stub their toe. They can't look ahead. They can't look to the ACC title game because Miami and a loss to Virginia could be devastating when it comes to the college football playoff race. Although you would imagine if they were still able to beat Clemson, they'd be in. But again, that one loss against an unranked UVA team would be very difficult for the committee to stomach. And your number one matchup of the college football weekend, the only ranked matchup, 24 Michigan against 5 Wisconsin. This one is at Camp Randall. Wisconsin's a touchdown favorite in this one. This is the noon kick Eastern on Fox. And Wisconsin needs to remain undefeated, as we all know. They need to win the Big Ten championship to get in. We have to assume that they can't lose this game to Michigan and still get in, even if they beat whoever they play in the Big Ten title game. So the pressure is on Scani to keep the wins going. I know Barry Alvarez would like you to believe that they can suffer a loss potentially and still get in. Maybe they could, but you don't want to leave it up to that. Take care of business. You're at home against Michigan. You should win. You've got to get it done tomorrow. That's your Tasty Top 5. When we come back, soundcheck, your best audio of the day, including Steph Curry weighing in, interestingly, in who he thinks he'll play in the NBA Finals if the Warriors get there. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Get the empanada shells at your local grocer. Mm-hmm. You usually find them over there, you know, in the freezer section with some of the, ethnic, I think they call it foods.
I think that's right.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you could watch the simulcast by going to watchda.com. Take us with you on your phone. Just watch us. Simulcast going on every single day. It also runs all day long after we are off the air, so you can catch the latest episode there. No commercials after we're done. That's watchda.com. Mobile friendly. Coming up next hour, Bucky Brooks is going to join us from the NFL Network. We'll talk about last night's dominant performance by the Pittsburgh Steelers and some of the other big games of the weekend. Falcons and Seahawks on Monday night, Rams and Vikings. Interestingly, the NFC right now is so much more interesting than the AFC, where it feels like we have this triumvirate of Patriots, Steelers, and Chiefs, and two of the three will meet inevitably in the AFC championship game. Now, look, the Chiefs have lost their first playoff game before. The Steelers have had some awful dog food performances this season. Hard to imagine the Patriots losing before they get to an AFC title game, but I suppose when they got blitzed early in the season on opening night by the Chiefs, and also Deshaun Watson nearly beat them, and then Cam Newton beat them at home, they can be beaten, that's for certain, but it does make you feel as though we know the three teams and maybe the two teams, Patriots and Steelers, that will meet for the AFC title. In the NFC, you can give me any permutation, any combination of Eagles, Saints, Vikings, Panthers. Give me the Seahawks thrown in there as well. You know what? You can give me even other squads in the NFC, like the Falcons, like the Rams. Put them in one big hat, pick out two, and say those are your NFC championship game teams. Wouldn't surprise me. So that wide openness in the NFC is pretty fun right now and has a lot of different teams dreaming. And I gotta feel like that's what it will feel like in the AFC. Whenever Tom Brady retires, we'll finally get back to a point where you say, okay, there's not just the Patriots and then somebody else. It's a whole bunch of teams. It opens up the door. But there's so many more competitive teams. I mean, the AFC, the second wild card could go to a team that's 500 right now or under. There's a bunch of 4 and 5 win teams that are looking at that final wild card slot. So this weekend feels like a lot of good NFC games. Cowboys-Eagles should be interesting as well. Let's bring you your best audio of the day. It's soundcheck time.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, let's start with Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma head coach. He's got the pressure. The Sooners have the pressure on trying to hold on to a college football playoff slot. That shouldn't be too difficult this week as they take on Kansas.
We say don't listen to the noise, you know, and it's the same way right now. You know, now, you know, we've been through this on kind of both sides this season, and I feel like we're a little bit more equipped to handle it because it's almost like we've been through this cycle a little bit already this year, you know, after we beat Ohio State and had a good run to start the season.
I mean, seriously, Baker Mayfield and that offense might put up 70 tomorrow. Kansas is that bad. Kansas is an atrocity. Kansas is a war and a crime against humanity in terms of how bad their football program is. Oklahoma needing offense, Baker Mayfield leading one of the best offenses of the country against the Jayhawks. This could be 70-3. This could be 77-10. There's that potential out there. Jose Altuve, MLB Network audio, as he's named AL MVP.
Talking about the tryout when they sent me back, I don't blame those guys because it's really hard to believe in a guy that is only 5'5", maybe 5'4", and 140 pounds. I was 140 pounds by that time. I only weighed like 20 pounds. I'm 160 right now.
Sounds like we're talking about David Wright there and how much he weighs. Jose Altuve had a tryout with the Astros. They sent him home when he had an open tryout for the organization. The fact that he is a batting champ, an MVP, a World Series champ, what an awesome story. Jose Altuve is totally the type of guy you root for, whether you're an Astros fan or not. And finally, after last night's Celtics and Warriors game, Steph Curry kind of predicting that that'll be the NBA Finals.
Very, very likely, right? They're playing the best right now in the East, and obviously until they beat Cleveland, who's done it 3 years in a row. We'll see, but I heard the weather's great here in June, so we'll see.
So last night, what a great win by the Celtics. A 17-point comeback. And the Celtics kind of got a win ugly, found a way to get it done. They play with guts. They play with grit. They play with compete level. And the Celtics need to be taken seriously as a finals contender, even without Gordon Hayward. I don't think they can keep this streak, obviously, going, this hotness, because they've won 14 in a row. And at some point, they're going to go through some bumps in the road as a team still trying to gel. But they've got a great coach. They've got young players in Tatum and Brown that are growing up by the day. Brown was fantastic last night. Kyrie has elevated his game and being the man. And even on a night where he's not great like last night, the Celtics are still able to find a way to beat one of the best teams in basketball. The most talented team of the NBA, I say one of the best because they're not playing great basketball early in the season. But I could totally see Warriors and Celtics in the NBA Finals. I don't think the Celtics could win that series. I don't think they could take 4 of 7, especially having lost Gordon Hayward. Who knows, though, when he comes back. But I definitely could see the Celtics knocking off the Cavaliers in the Eastern Finals because the Cavaliers look old and slow a lot of times this season, and the Celtics look the opposite of that. And that is your sound check, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. The PGP is always, to me, a must listen. We do two sides. Side A, which is usually Mraz and I breaking down what happened over the course of the week on the Da Show. And then side B, where Mraz talks to Pete the Body Bellotti or Jay Berman or James Ward or this week, Kenny Brock. Now, for those of the uninitiated, Kenny Brock was our board op of the Wheels of Steel on our 2 years during the overnight days. And it was the perfect yin and yang. If you remember those days and you were a listener back in the day, you remember how perfect the chemistry was because you have Mraz, a loudmouth, obnoxious New York fan. And then you had Kenny Brock, a loudmouth, obnoxious Philly fan. But Mraz lets it all hang out on the air and is very kind of proud of his stupidity and his fatness and his overboard personality, where Brock is much more reserved and resented Mraz for being that proud of being stupid and fat. And when it comes together, it's just perfect. And I used to love just opening up the microphones and listening to them bicker and fight about everything. And it was usually one-sided, Brock just hammering Mraz. And Kenny Brock having that no-filter Philly mentality doesn't pull punches, especially with Mraz. He tells you exactly as it is. And if you listen to this week's PGP, you heard Brock go after Mraz. You heard him go after Bogish. He went after Ward. He went after Bellotti. He went after everybody. It was, I mean, he was like Jean-Claude Van Damme walking into a bar, all comers. And that's just Philly. That's just Brock's Philly mentality. He went on to the TV side of things, working at the CBS Sports Network. Now has graduated to the Food Network behind the scenes. So just imagine this guy and working in the corporate sphere. I can't imagine. But so when Mraz told him on the PGP this week that he was getting to host a couple of shows next week in for Amy doing the overnights, it was so good to hear Kenny Brock completely supportive of Mraz's opportunity.
Your thoughts on me being out with a concussion?
You're fat and you're soft. That's all it is.
Wait, hold on. A concussion has nothing to do with being fat or soft.
Actually, it does. If you weren't so fat, maybe you wouldn't get concussed. I don't know.
So that was the start of the conversation after Mraz told him that he missed a day of work because he had a quote-unquote concussion. It was just great to hear Brock again, totally supportive of Mraz's endeavors.
I just wanted to throw in the fact that you're fat. But you are soft.
Again, if you need some type of insight into how close their bond is and how they really cheer for one another, the Permission Granted podcast was a great example.
If you need a guest, make sure you can give me a shout. I might be drunk, and you may have to have a board op who's quick on the dump button.
Well, this was not a good audition for you, let's just say that. Because the editing I'm going to have to put into this, and now you add live, that's going to be a disaster.
Audition? I worked in radio, sports radio for 4.5 years. Now I got to audition for you? Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? It's just great to hear cheery Kenny Brock really support Mraz in his professional endeavors.
So we're doing
shocking that you suck at producing. Shocking.
There was 2 years of this, 2 years every day on the air. And think about this from an overnight perspective. Nobody was sleeping very well. And so that's Brock in a full night's sleep coming after you. But you know what? He's got away with words. Mraz, you're fat and you're soft.
That's what we're doing.
Shocking that you suck at producing. Shocking.
You're fat.
Even if you're fat.
And you're soft.
I just wanted to throw in the fact that you're fat, but you are soft.
Puffiness with sodium.
You're fat and you're soft.
I just wanted to throw in the fact that you're fat, but you are soft.
Even if you're fat.
I just wanted to throw in the fact that you're fat, but you are soft.
Chubbo, your thoughts on me being out with a concussion?
You're fat and you're soft. That's all it is.
Chubbo. Wait, hold on. A concussion has nothing to do with being fat or soft.
Actually, it does. If you weren't so fat, maybe you wouldn't get concussed. I don't know.
Puffiness with sodium.
If you need a guest, make sure you can give me a shout. I might be drunk, and you may have to have a board op who's quick on the dump button. Well,
that was the entire conversation. So I highly encourage you to check it out by going to our Permission Granted podcast every week. It's the show about the show that's available on play.it, iTunes, and everywhere the DA show is sold.
So we're doing.
Shocking that you suck at producing. Shocking.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. MTS tweets, DA, you're such a Cowboys hater. What you seem to neglect is that Zeke wasn't charged criminally for anything, and the NFL's own investigator suggested Zeke should not be suspended. That's what this is all about. Hey, man. If you think Jerry Jones is waging a war against Roger Goodell because he just believes in fairness and the letter of the law, you're nuts. You're delusional and you're nuts. But people don't realize that Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett are two of my favorite players ever, and they are two of the greatest Cowboys ever. I think Jerry Jones is an egomaniac. But in this case, this has nothing to do about Cowboys hate. This is about seeing things clearly. Jerry Jones was the biggest Roger Goodell supporter ever in Goodell unilaterally holding all of the cards in disciplining players no matter what the legal outcome was. Roger Goodell was given carte blanche by Jerry Jones, the owners, last year to come down as hard as possible on Tom Brady, even though Brady wasn't found guilty in a court of law. There was no legal ramifications to that. Charged criminally? No. Jerry Jones gave Roger Goodell all of the power he needed to act no matter what happened criminally. But it happened to the Cowboys, and now Jerry Jones, a sad old man, has got his panties in a bunch because it finally happened to him. And if you can't see that, you're not seeing clearly. When we come back, the Patriots conspiracy theory.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.